This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
If you're a Virginia or NC State fan, and I know the Hoos were there in 15 and won it all, and I know NC State was there in 13, but if you're new to the scene and you're going to Omaha,
Drover.
The Drover is worth the trip. And it gets you a whiskey steak and some elbow room and load up because it is good. Mm-hmm. They can do a steak in Omaha. If you want a good piece of meat, that's a good town to be hanging out in. Great baseball. Good
finish meat. It up with some Zesto's ice cream, too, Pack.
Oh, I mentioned that to Stephen Schock on Twitter the other night. And, of course, he's into the Dippin' Dots, which we're going to get into because it's all about name, image, and likeness in this segment. And, of course, Dippin' Dots became a big deal with Stephen Schock, and he did a little had some fun on television and talking about Dippin' Dots and everything else. And, you know, we started thinking about here's the boss man right here. And Dippin' Dots did the smart thing. This is when you have good marketing people. You hear something on television, you say, hey, you know, this guy from Virginia, man, he's a character. He's talking about Dippin' Dots. And so the smart folks at Dippin' Dots said, well, let's just load them up. So they did. So here's Schock showcasing all the different flavors offered by Dippin' Dots. And that's now become a sensation. And again, smart marketing people. I like companies that have really smart, aggressive marketing people. They get it. Dippin' Dots gets it.
I agree. But think about it, too. Schock would be a guy you would associate with the brand because then when he gets on the field, he's something now. The whole throwing the glove down the left field line, the celebrations coming off after strikeouts. I mean, look at this. There's the glove.
I've got some South Carolina friends that were so mad. They texted me, Pack, this guy from Virginia, who does he think he is? I'm like, what are you talking about? Hey, you guys act like you've never won anything before. I said, dude, what are you talking about? He goes, this guy, 37, throwing his glove. I said, oh, no disrespect. I said, I know they eliminated you in front of your fans. I get that. Don't worry about it. But he's done that before. I mean, he throws his glove like that before. So don't think that was the first time in honor of knocking out you guys. I had to explain to my South Carolina buddies that, you know, get off your high horse a little bit. Go get on the couch and watch Virginia. But that Schock has done that before to other teams. So just chill with that one a little bit.
By the way, we've also walked ourselves on the borderline of other name, image, and likeness endorsements that are waiting to happen. Probably one of the best would be with our man Ike Ekwonu of NC State, Pack.
Love this.
Right?
Love this.
Yeah.
Because Ike brought it now. He brought it when he showed up on the program. Remember? He made it perfectly clear he is the right man for this endorsement opportunity.
Ike, good morning. How are you?
Wait now. Hey, Ike, hold on now.
Hold on,
big man. Wait a minute. It's like when you're in grade school chewing gum. You better have enough gum for the rest of the class.
I got some for y'all for you, sir. Come down the road.
He's a player, too, now.
Is that not perfect?
He's perfecto. Again, this is name, image, and likeness. We got everybody in D.C. again. Yeah. This time the student-athletes get a chance to voice their case. So we're here to help. I've said it from day one. We are here to help the student-athletes in this new era of name, image, and likeness. That's exactly what we're doing.
That's exactly right. Well, and another guy that walked us into maybe a potential endorsement was Virginia heavyweight wrestler Quinn Miller. Mm-hmm. You know why?
So great.
Look at that. I mean, come on now. There's Quinn attacking the sandwich. Because, as we know, tomorrow, in season for Quinn, Fat Boy Friday.
Me and a couple other heavyweights have a thing called Fat Boy Fridays. So every Friday, we go find a new restaurant somewhere to eat. And I invite people, but it's usually just us heavyweights.
All right. Oh, hold on. Now we're going somewhere on this show, right, Pack?
I like the sound of this. This is my guy right here.
What was the latest Fat Boy Friday conquest?
We went to Wegmans and they got like a 14-inch sub, and it was great.
Fat Boy Fridays. He'd be great anyhow.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine between Quinn Miller at Virginia and Stephen Schock with baseball? They got two of the all-time characters going on right there now. Just telling you.
Yep.
Just telling you.
Doesn't stop there, though.
No.
We've covered at Virginia. How about let's go to Duke? Lacrosse, big sport with the Blue Devils. John Donowski does a marvelous job. He's got a goalie who was once attacked by a shark.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Adler, earlier this year, he talked to us about that.
Surfing with a couple of my buddies, and it's our last wave in, like 20 yards off the beach, and next thing I know, I'm getting back on my board, and this huge jaw just clamps on me, and I immediately knew it was a shark, so I was ripped my foot out of its mouth and kind of swam the shore as fast as I could, yelled at my buddies to kind of come help me. They didn't believe me, so I'm like hobbling up the beach with barely a foot. But yeah, it was wild.
That ain't right.
Mike Adler, Shark Week. I can see it now. Mike Adler's Shark Week.
Why do people do that? Seriously.
I don't know. Why do they get in the water?
I gave you my firsthand experience 2 weeks ago about lost my life. Just trying to get to a boat.
Well, you get in the water, Pac.
The second the big toe hits the water, you are the visiting team. They're going to put that on my grave. When they finally put me to rest, that's what's going to be on my grave. The second your big toe hits the water, you're the visiting team.
All right. Crazy. Now, how about a little more direct-to-consumer endorsement stuff? Name, image, and likeness. Hey, you got a frozen yogurt store. You got a spot on Franklin Street?
This is the lady right
here.
Hey,
the yogurt pump. I got news for the yogurt pump. The way Aaron Mattson comes in there and gets the fro-yo, Karen Shelton alongside as well. Yep, I can see some NIL coming for Aaron Mattson. Can't you, Pac?
Man, she's the best in the business, and she's coming back for more. And I'm talking about winning national championships and the yogurt. I mean, it's the perfect combination. Aaron Mattson and Froyo, come on. That's a no-brainer. Healthy, championship quality. You got the face of the sport. I mean, can't ask for a better case scenario right there. She'd be perfect.
There you go. Even at Virginia, youngsters starring in major championships. There's your Emma Navarro and Major Tom, Pack.
Major Tom. Star right there, and Emma is too. She's like, I'm not sure I'm ready to go pro yet, but I'm going to eventually. But I'm just having so much fun at the University of Virginia. I mean, dog treats. You kidding me? Emma's already won the national championship as a freshman. She is a big time, soon to be world class player. Big time. She's gonna be a star.
There you go. Boston College has a potential candidate for name, image, and likeness.
Oh, yeah.
He's already got his own YouTube cooking deal. Alec Lindstrom?
Yep.
He's clearly ready for a grill endorsement.
Yeah. When he joined us, and this is the video that we were showing during the interview, this was a total no-brainer. Now, I think he's got to work on his sauce a little bit. The sauce needs some help, but nevertheless, it is grilling season, man. Get those burgers out there, a little extra cheese, a little something, whatever you like with the drink. You'd be good to go. I like it. Liked everything about
there
that.
Yeah. Absolutely right. Here are a couple more. Justin Anderson's a star on the Carolina lacrosse team. He and his wife just had their first child. In fact, the baby was born. Justin went and played and had a goal.
Yep.
So why wouldn't we have Justin endorse kids' diapers?
Tell you what, I remember that stage, just hearing that screaming baby in the background. You can't get your hands on enough of these. He'd probably, if this was ready to roll right now, he'd go for it in 2 milliseconds. He and his wife.
Yep.
But congratulations to Team Anderson.
James Skalski, who was a coach in the spring game, because Dabo Swinney knew that, you know, he's veteran linebacker, would be ready for the fall. returns for his sixth year. Is it too early for the AARP pack?
No, it's not. He's become the Ricky Stokes of football. Because I kept telling you, but as a kid, I was like, man, Ricky Stokes has been at Virginia for 30 years. He was always like a ninth-year sophomore. I'm like, wait a minute, has Ricky Stokes not graduated from Virginia yet? Skowski is still playing football at Clemson. Are you kidding me? And he's loving it. I mean, he's out there coaching camps, and you mentioned the spring game that you guys did, and I know Venables and company are like, yeah, we still got that veteran guy right there in the middle and 47 ready to hit you in the next week. But, yeah, he's been there forever. He's got a chance to win his James Skowski has a chance to win his sixth consecutive ACC football championship.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, what are we talking about? Sixth.
Yeah. Well, and my favorite note is Skowski and Ross Taylor, who's Clemson's football publicist, and I think Tim Bure's also involved in this equation. Tim Bure has sorted out that Jeremiah Trotter Jr., who's an incoming freshman at Clemson, was 13 years old when Skowski played his first collegiate football game.
It's crazy. Still there, 47. You're going to be like, man, is that the same Skowski family? No, it's the same guy, James Skowski, still playing football at Clemson.
Yeah.
Crazy. He's a baller, too.
Look, Ross Taylor, I'm not telling you how to do your job, right? You can bring whoever you want to bring to Charlotte. But like Stephen Schock, Omaha needed Stephen Schock. Charlotte may need James Skowski for the ACC kickoff.
No, he's tremendous. He's a great interview and a tremendous player.
All right, here's one more before we're done. And it just happened. Paige Madden of Virginia is going to Tokyo to swim with Team USA. But when Paige Madden was with us earlier this year, she had already acquired all these medals. And she had gotten creative with what she does with the medals.
Do you stack those things up like tag-alongs and Girl Scout cookies? I mean, how do you display all the medals that you get with this?
It's funny that you asked that because I actually have my phone propped up on them right now because I didn't have anything else to watch.
You know?
Yeah, there you go.
When you're at the University of Virginia, you're smart, you're creative. The phone's not quite working. Hey, hold on a second. Let me go get some championship medals here so I can just balance my phone.
Go get some medals.
So I can do this interview with you two old guys. She was great. And she was awesome in Omaha. Sat there and watched the U.S. Olympic trials. And congratulations again, Team USA going to Tokyo. But she is a really, really terrific talent and was a joy to talk to multiple times on the show.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Hokies, get ready because we're going to be talking about your football team coming up here in about 10 minutes with Andy Bitter from The Athletic. And we'll just give you a little,
That'll be good. Little
sneak preview. Always great having Andy back. And, of course, we're just all over. Just over, next month, July 21, 22. ACC football kickoff. We'll be there every minute. Yep. We've got you covered here on ACC Network. But we're kind of doing our two-a-days. And today it's all about Virginia and Virginia Tech. Here you go.
Yep. We've already visited with Mike Barber, Andy Bitter to come here in about 15, 14 minutes. But first, how about some odds? Want a little Caesars Sportsbook by William Hill? Want some numbers? Want some math?
It's your strength.
Yeah. Okay. Let's take the five big ones for week one because that's what we got the intel on. Miami getting 18.5 against Alabama at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium in downtown Atlanta.
Again, I'm not a gambling guy, so sometimes this can be a foreign universe for me. I'm not surprised by that number. In fact, if you said it was 22.5, I'd have said I'm not surprised by that number. Listen, Miami has a lot to prove, right? They've got a golden opportunity.
Yeah.
And every time we've talked to a player or a coach or even an administrator, they understand that, guess what? Week one of the college football season If the U, you want to talk about it, is the U back? Well, you will get an opportunity to prove it in week one of the 21 college football season.
There you go. Clemson, 3.5-point favorite against Georgia. Back.
I think you grab a quarter and you flip it. It's Georgia. It's Clemson. Mm-hmm. I don't care if it's in Charlotte. I don't care if it's in Athens. I don't care if it's in Death Valley. Both of these teams on paper appear to be national championship caliber clubs. If they happen to play twice this upcoming season, it would not surprise me. You heard me.
Right.
They played twice. It would not surprise me. It is the best game of not only week one, I think it is the best non-conference game of the entire college football season.
Yeah. Yesterday on the ESPN family of networks, a couple of college football analysts said they think Clemson is the team of the big three or four, if you will. You want to roll Oklahoma in there. They think Clemson is the one that takes the step back this year. So we'll see you on opening night, right?
Could be.
That's why you got those kind of games.
They also could be the same team that wins their third championship since 2016. I mean, you want an opinion? Hey, there's one. You know what it cost you? Nothing. You know how much insight was involved?
Nothing.
Zero. So congratulations. Hey, I think Clemson's not going to give up a point this year. Hey, that's a hot take. Throw it up against the board. Means absolutely nothing. Come on. I mean, it's June, for crying out loud. Who knows?
All right. Florida State on Sunday night is a 10.5-point underdog at home to Notre Dame at the Doak for Mike Norvell's second season.
I will tell you, again, I'm not a gambler, so anything I say regarding a line, know what it means, zero. I'm surprised the number is double digits. Not that I don't think Notre Dame's better than Florida State, because I think they are. But Notre Dame lost a lot of personnel from a year ago. I mean, that was a senior-dominated, experienced, well-coached football team that's got a lot of pieces. Now, I'm not telling you they don't have good guys coming up next, because, you know, Brian Kelly's really recruited well.
Sure.
But it's on the road. It's going to be packed. Florida State's got something to prove. I like their quarterbacks. And here's the other thing. Florida State put some points on Notre Dame last year. You go back and watch that game.
Yeah.
And we all thought that was going to be an absolute blowout city. That game was a little bit different than what we expected. I'm surprised it's a double-digit line. But, again, I'm not going to lose or make 1 cent off any of these games.
All right, let me throw an idea at you. Remember that Kurt Weiler talked about the Georgia transfer at defensive end, Jermaine Johnson? Notre Dame's going to have 2 new tackles, 4 new guys in the offensive line, right? I think I've counted that up the right way.
Don't forget about the quarterback.
Not to mention the quarterback quarterback situation.
That's what I'm talking about.
I mean, there's going to be a lot of scrutiny going through the month of August about what Florida State is. Notre Dame, you talk about teams that are in a personnel transition. Notre Dame would be one of those. Now, they still got the best defensive back in the country in Kyle Hamilton at safety, but – be interesting to see how Notre Dame looks on opening night in Tallahassee.
You mentioned some people thought that Clemson's going to take a step back. I don't know about that.
Yes.
I do think Notre Dame's taking a step back, in my opinion.
I do too. Right.
I mean, I thought, again, Notre Dame proved last year they were a college football playoff team. I don't think Notre Dame, under any circumstance in 21, is a college football playoff team. I don't think they're Bama. I don't think they're Clemson. I don't think they're Georgia. I don't think they're Oklahoma. All right, so – if you want to go and do your stupid hot take, I'll give you a hot take. I don't think Notre Dame will be as good in 21 as 20.
There you go.
I think they'll be good.
All right.
But you were talking about elite now. If there's somebody in last year's playoff that you don't think is going to be in this year, I'd tell you, I don't think Notre Dame will be. I think they'll be good, but I don't think they're college football playoff good.
All right. Louisville is a 1.5-point underdog to Ole Miss on opening night. It's Labor Day night at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Now, Mark Ennis, based on our conversation with Mark Ennis of 93.9 The Ville the other day, let me add this. Louisville will have to get some stops because Ole Miss is going to score.
Of course.
Ole Miss will have to get some stops too because Louisville's probably going to be scoring.
I don't think that game will be determined by a touchdown or less. I don't. I think the winner of that game is going to win by a couple touchdowns. Now, who it is, I got no idea. Okay. I just think that both of them have the capability of not tackling someone. No. I know that sounds crazy.
Both of them are capable of missing tackles.
Of missing a lot of tackles. And I've seen it. I've seen both of them miss a lot of tackles. And so I think that line right there, because I think you've got two dynamic quarterbacks who can make plays.
Yeah.
And if you are not in the mood early to put your nose in somebody's business and bring them to the floor, I think there are going to be some big plays. I think there will be a ton of points. I'm not a gambler, but I'd be curious to know what's the over-under of that game? 110?
We may have to send folks to research on that. All right, here's the last one. Friday night. This one's getting bigger by the day, it feels like. Carolina, Virginia Tech. Tar Heels favored by 6.
Such
on the road. It's going to be a mess at Lane Stadium at Worsham Field. Hokie faithful crammed in there. Carolina people trying to get tickets. Come on now. Braxton Burmeister maybe taking the opening snap. That's what we're going to bleed out of Andy Bitter, by the way, here in about 4 minutes. Who's the starter on opening night for the Hokies? Braxton Burmeister seems a fait accompli, but we'll check.
I think he will be. Just think of the games these two have played here in recent memory.
Ooh.
Right? I mean, remember the last time these two played at Lane Stadium? Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
19 overtime game or whatever that was. Nobody could make a kick. That game was insane. I mean, that game, everybody needed a single ice cube at the end of that game. Goodness gracious. And last year, it was, hey, first to 50. Let's go. That will be a great scene. And that's, you know what? For the entire Labor Day weekend, when we start the football season, that game, Enter Sandman, Friday night, it's a conference game of note. North Carolina's going to have a ton of hype. Talk to Phil Longo later today. Yep. Virginia Tech's got the pressure to, hey, it's a bounce back year for the Hokies. It's a critical game in the Coastal. That's when you're going to know it's college football season. When you hear that crowd for that game and what's at stake before you even get to the first Saturday of the season. That is going to be tremendous. Can't wait. It'd
be good if we could be there on Friday morning, wouldn't it?
I'm in. I'm in anytime we go to Blacksburg. Okay.
Let's go.
I am good to go to Blacksburg.
Maybe Friday morning we could ramble up there and Hacker and Durham right there from outside the stadium.
I've been in the basement for 16 months. So anybody that's ready to take us, whether it be SiriusXM wants to put me on the road or ESPN, I am good to go. You just give me where we're going and the dates and the times, and I am in. I don't care what it is. I'm in. Yep. I've been sitting here. This has been my home for 15 months. I have not left the basement. The radio show is over here in the corner, which you really can't see. SiriusXM. That's in the afternoons. And my TV mornings are right here with the dogs. And the dogs don't move. They stay in the same spot for the radio show.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Thursday. Two-a-days continue. Commonwealth is where we're going today. We talked about the Hoos in hour number one. Our buddy Andy Bitter from The Athletic now joins us to talk about Virginia Tech. Hokie, hokie, hokie. Hi. Mr. Bitter, how are we doing?
Doing pretty well. How are you guys?
It's good, man. It's middle of June. ACC football kickoff meeting is getting cranked up in about another month. But doesn't mean that there's always something to talk about when it comes to Virginia Tech football and really what is shaping up to be a big, big and important year for Justin Fuente.
Yeah, you don't have the athletic director come out after the season and have a press conference about why he didn't fire you that year without it being a big season the next season. So I think everybody goes into this season knowing the stakes. He's got to do well. He's got to have a good season. I don't know if there's a win total that he needs to hit. Whit Babcock did not define anything like that. But if you're 6-6, if you're 5-7, you know, sub 500 again, I think there's some serious questions about whether Justin Fuente is the guy to lead this program. Now, they have a chance to be okay this year, I think. And if they go 8-4, something like that, I think he's probably safe. But there is sort of that in-between area, 7-5. If you're 7-5 and you're not contending for the Coastal Division title, sort of what is this program at this point? That's not what Virginia Tech has been in the past. So it's a season with a lot of stakes for a lot of people.
All right, Andy, we don't do this very often in this two-a-day segment, but I'm going to throw the schedule up there right now. Because everybody wants to talk about opening night, and I get all that. Friday night, Carolina, Lane Stadium, full capacity, shoulder to shoulder, Inner Sandman, the Tar Heels, and the whole nine. But I want to look at 2 weeks after that, 4 weeks after that. I mean, I don't know what MTSU is going to be packing. I don't know what Richmond's packing. But I know a road trip to Morgantown brings out all the flavors. And then, you know, you start looking at this thing, it's got to start well at best, right?
Yes. I think we'll know quite a bit about this team in those first five games of the season. The North Carolina one, obviously, everybody's had that circled. Major importance in the division, just getting off on the right foot. And honestly, I think that's maybe the right time to catch Carolina. You know, replacing all those guys that they lost last year, sure. Skill guys. And, you know, I hear people say, oh, they got some receivers. Well, I thought those running backs last year were just incredible. I mean, those guys just pounded away at you. And to lose that and not quite know exactly how you're going to replace it in the first game of the season, that might be the time to catch the Tar Heels. So I'm really interested in that game. But you can't be a Virginia Tech coach and lose to West Virginia. That just does not go over well with the fan base, especially in a game where they haven't played up there since 2005, I think. It's been a long time. The series has kind of cooled off. They played one neutral site game at FedEx a couple years ago. But it would not be a wise thing to go up there and lose to West Virginia, just in terms of, you know, keeping the fan base in your corner. And then, you know, Notre Dame is a game that everybody circles. That's one that, you know, they've played a couple times in the last few years. So, you know, you can't lose all three of those games and be 2-3 coming out of the first month and really have anybody in your corner anymore.
Andy, I want to stay on the schedule a second, because I think this is one of the most bizarre schedules I've seen in a long, long time. And the reason for it is that six of the first seven games of the year, which also you could throw an open date where you're going nowhere, but six of the first seven are at home. So not only do you have a scenario where, hey, it's time for Justin Fuente to have a big year. Not only do you have the very first game of the season, it's going to be so cool to see everybody back at Lane Stadium rocking and rolling with the importance of game one, but you mentioned the West Virginia game. You got Notre Dame people to be excited about, and the fact you expect to be a factor in an ACC race, and six of your first seven are at home. So you've got to make an absolute impression right from the get-go, right? I mean, because – hey, if this thing gets sideways, you look at the tail end of the schedule. At Georgia Tech in late October, at Miami, at Virginia, it becomes almost out of sight, out of mind, when it's the greatest time in the world to be at Lane Stadium, and that is late October and into November when the leaves have changed and it's cold and people are having their turkey legs and ready to be playing and getting fired up for big games. So this schedule is really, really interesting. Six of the first seven, you just don't see that very often.
Yeah, I've never seen such a front-loaded schedule like that. And not only is it, you know, you don't want to have to go into those final stretch of games on the road needing to do really well, needing to go 3-1 or anything like that, but say things sort of get sideways early in the season. And there's never sort of that reprieve to go on the road and get away from, you know, if people really turn negative in Lane Stadium or people really turn against Fuente like that. You're there every single week. And the people will let you know what they think about you every single week like that. So I think sometimes, you know, if there's struggles in a part of the season, going on the road is almost a nice thing because you get away from that for a second. It's sort of you against the world when you go on the road like that. But they won't have that. They'll be at home, and, you know, they need to play better at home. Lane Stadium hasn't exactly been the home field advantage that it was back in the heyday for the Hokies. But they better do well early in the season, because that is a tough closing stretch in some hostile environments.
All right, let's get to some personnel stuff here. Is Braxton Burmeister the starting quarterback on opening night, or is Justin Fuente got another one of those quarterback competitions to unfold in the month of August?
He is the starter. They've come out and said that already, or at least said he was the starter in the spring, and they've never done that before. They've always said in the spring, hey, it's an open competition and everybody gets equal reps. They didn't do that this year, and I think they didn't do it because acknowledging anything otherwise would have been a farce because the other guys on the roster are not very experienced. Burmeister's not doesn't have a wealth of experience, at least not with the Hokies. He hasn't played a whole ton, but I think it is acknowledging that he's a step ahead of those other guys. And he's an interesting player because, you know, he played okay early in the season when Hendon Hooker was out. Didn't really light up the scoreboard, but Virginia Tech had some success. And then later in the season, you look at his stats and he completed, I think, 70% of his passes those last 2 weeks against Clemson and then against Virginia. Ran the ball okay, ran the offense well. So I think if they get that version towards the end of the season, they can be okay in that spot. They could actually be pretty good. I do worry about his durability. You know, he had three injuries last year, a hand cramp, some broken toes, and a knee injury that forced him out of the Clemson game. They can't afford to lose him because if he gets hurt, there's a whole lot of question marks in the quarterback room beyond him.
Andy, I want to go to the other side of the ball.
Yeah, but like they've had the last couple of years.
Andy, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I wanted to go to the other side of the ball. We can talk about Burmeister and the pieces around him and all that stuff, but I think defensively is where Virginia Tech has got to improve from a year ago if they're going to be a factor in the Coastal race and the ACC, and we talk about the schedule and all that stuff. Man, you know, you're just not used to seeing Virginia Tech give up a ton of points, right? I mean, the really good Virginia Tech teams would swallow you whole and just strangle you. Defensively, change with Bud Foster, new regime, new era. But, man, this team did not put the stops on people on the defensive side last year.
No, it was a struggle. I would say if you're replacing a legend like Bud Foster, your first offseason, you probably don't want to have it impacted by COVID-19, where you can't practice, can't really do install. They brought in a whole lot of new coaches last year, and those coaches really didn't get to know the personnel, and the personnel didn't get to know the coaches as well. So I think it was a very tough sledding last year for this defense. And then on top of it, you have Caleb Farley, a first-round draft pick who opts out before the season. You have Jermaine Waller, an all-ACC caliber cornerback who gets injured, and Devin Hunter, a safety who they really like, got suspended. So three-fifths of your secondary you don't really have. So that's a really tough spot for Justin Hamilton in his first year. Now, I'm not completely excusing the performance. They were pretty dreadful in a lot of games last year. That Pitt game, I felt like Pitt could throw for 600 yards on them. It wasn't going to be a problem. That's something that they need to obviously shore up. But I think they have some help this year. You know, bringing in Jordan Williams, Clemson defensive tackle, will shore up that defensive line a little bit. A little bit more experience in the linebacker spots. And I think they have some more bodies in the secondary, including Jermaine Waller coming back. So that and Justin Hamilton having a year to have learned, I think they should be better. I don't think you're going to see a dominant defense like Bud Foster used to have all the time, but they shouldn't be dreadful like they were at times last year.
All right, I'm going to counter in my last question here, Andy, and the counter on this is when you got somebody like Blackshear, and we saw Juice Herbert last year do some really nice things for them, but you got Blackshear back there, and Braxton Burmeister's best friend needs to be him, or James Mitchell at tight end. You can pick here, but to me, you got to run the ball. You know, you got offensive linemen. Let's get out and run the ball. You lost Darisaw to the draft, but let's think about this. You can make Burmeister a lot more confident and even more comfortable if you can just push it down the field and the ground.
Yeah, I think they'd like to do that. And that you mentioned the offensive line. They still have a lot of good pieces there. Some NFL caliber guys like Lasita Smith, Luke Tenuta, Brock Hoffman. That's a good start there on the offensive line.
Yeah.
I'm curious about the running back because, you know, Blackshear didn't look great for a lot of last year. I don't know if he was ever quite right. He had a hamstring injury for a while. Jalen Holston possibly at the running game, Keyshawn King, Marco Lee. There's a lot of options there. Last year we didn't go into the season thinking that Khalil Herbert was going to be this amazing running back. Actually, most of the talk was about Blackshear. So there is a possibility to surprise there. But I think that's sort of been, you know, Justin Fuente's history is that he tries to run the ball and can run the ball pretty creatively and pretty well. And last year they had the breakout with the offensive line. So I think as long as the offensive line is really solid like that, there'll be a team that's able to run the ball. And if they can do that, maybe that can open up some things in the passing game.
Andy, is it safe to say in the middle of June, before we get a lot more information, that this may be the biggest mystery team in the league, the team that could give you a 10-2 season. You go, wow, they, you know, they won the division, they're in the championship, they got this, or a team that goes 4-8, 5-7, you kind of go, and they just never got going. Lost to North Carolina, lost to West Virginia. I mean, I think West Virginia, I think Virginia Tech could be all over the place. I have no feel for them at all in the middle of June. Is that fair?
Yeah, well, they play in the right division, if that's the case, because I feel like I can say that about a lot of Coastal Division teams. Yeah, this is a team that's just sort of all over the place. And that's weird because, you know, Virginia Tech fans are not used to that. They used to have the steady consistency of 10 wins a year. They knew what they were going to get under Frank Beamer, and it just hasn't been like that in the last decade, really. You know, some years that you think that they could have done a little bit better, and they never quite hit those heights. You know, one year they won 10 games in 2016. I don't think a lot of people expected that. So I feel like they have underachieved relative to what people have thought so far. But I look at the roster and I look at some of the strengths that they have on that team, and I go, yeah, there's no reason why this team can't be in there and in the mix in the Coastal. Now, they need some breaks. They need to be healthy throughout the season because they're not a very deep team. But yeah, there's enough talent on this roster to compete and be in there.
There you go. Andy Bitter does a marvelous job covering Virginia Tech for The Athletic. Andy, great to be with you. Thanks. We'll see you in Charlotte.
All right. Sounds good.
You bet. Thanks for the time, as always. Pac, I think you're – I think it's interesting. I think you're right. They may – we'll dig more into this as we get to Charlotte.
Wes, the reason I say that real quickly – you know, if you said, hey, can Duke win 10 games? I don't think they can. I don't. I think you can go through the list on the Coastal side. How many teams can get to double-digit wins? I think it's a short list. But Virginia Tech, if you told me Virginia Tech won 10 games this year, I'd go, tell you what, man, everything fell into place. Great job by Justin Fuente and her staff. Life is good. And if you told me they went 5-7, I'd go, well, you know what? It's just been a struggle. So I think they are the biggest mystery team of all 14 ACC teams. They've got the biggest differential of their high and their low. I think Virginia Tech is number one on the list.
I think that's a really interesting point, and you're right. I think you're there. And in listening to Andy talk about it quickly here before we get to break, not a lot of depth behind Burmeister at quarterback, right? There may be bodies, but depth in terms of game experience. You got a really good offensive line. You got three or four running backs, but yet you got to hope that defense gels.
No doubt.
So essentially, you got to get both cores of the engine put together, one on offense and one on defense.
Yep. They're going to be a fascinating team to study, and it starts in week one. That first game is such a tone setter, I think, for Virginia Tech and North Carolina. I mean, if the Heels are going to be top 10 good, that's a game you go on the road and go, hey, that's a nice crowd. Watch this. We're going to score 45 tonight. What are you going to do about it? You know, and so it's just a great, great week one game.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Coming up in about 10 minutes, Dan Radakovich will make his seventh appearance on Packer and Durham with a special announcement. We are sworn to secrecy.
Has he got the Clemson House sign? Is that what this is, the Clemson House sign?
We're not allowed to say a word till 9 a.m. Pay attention, ladies and gentlemen.
All right.
Let's go to Bristol, home of the smart people. The Voice of Victory joins us with a little rendition.
Man, Voice of Victory's gotten some run this week.
Yeah, well, you know, this guy's multi-talented. What can he say?
What's the second talent?
What time does Brooks tee off at Torrey Pines today in the U.S. Open? What time's Drew Brooks teeing off? Do we know? Do we have a tee time for Brooks yet?
You want Eastern or Pacific, Wes?
I know Pacific.
Dates
Pacific
and time zones can occasionally be confusing.
I tell you what, he better not be worried about tee times at Torrey Pines. He better get back to Tempe, Arizona, where the NCAA is knocking on doors some serious issues there in the desert. Just saying, Mr.
Josh,
Mr. Fork 'em up. Better be worrying about probation.
Josh, let me ask you, in our long relationship here on the Packer and Durham program, have you noticed that Brooks tends to be absent when breaking news around Arizona State starts to happen? Have you noticed that?
True.
Certain things happen, Brooks is nowhere to be found.
True. But speaking of which, right. it is not true or false time. It is over-under time. So let's get to it. We heard from Elliot Aven earlier, replayed that conversation in case you missed it. Let's talk a little bit more baseball now, though. Over-under 5.5 combined wins in Omaha for the Hoos and the Cavs total.
Over.
You mean the Hoos and the Wolf
Pack.
Who's
in the pack. The Wild Pack.
Sorry. Yeah.
The Wolf Cats.
The Wolf Cats. Well, that guy.
The Wolf Cats.
I'm going to go over, boys and girls. I am. I'm buying. That's a big number, too. 5.5.
That's a really big number.
I'm going to go over.
Wins? I'm going to go under. Daggone it, I don't want to go under, but I'm going to go under.
You turn in your ACC card right now. Turn your ACC card right now.
It's Stanford and the Volunteers, Pack.
I understand.
If it were anybody other than Stanford, and I know everybody's good, but daggone, Tennessee's playing as well as anybody.
Yeah, great.
Stanford is pitching it. They go to Lubbock and shut down the Red Raiders.
I mean, Tennessee's program is so awesome. Tennessee's program is so awesome. They're there for the first time since 2005. I mean, they're really good. Don't get me wrong.
I know. Lou Kochaver and all those guys. Yeah, but
I'm going to go over. I'm buying. Anybody that can go to Arkansas, win a series is capable of making a run. And let's not pretend Virginia hasn't been to Omaha and said, hey, we like this place. Let's go win a championship. So I'm going to be positive. I'm going to say over. Over.
Okay.
All right. Next, Josh.
As you referenced with our buddy Drew Brooks, U.S. Open this week at Torrey Pines, there are 11 ACC golfers in the field. Over under 6.5 of them making the cut.
Over.
Let me look at the list.
I'm going to take the over.
Let me look at the list here.
I'm going to take the over.
Yes.
Taking
yes,
seven.
Yes, yes. No, yes. I'm going to go under. I'm going to go under.
Turn in your card. You got to turn in your card if you're doing it.
No, I don't have to. I got my Clemson golf card sitting right here in my back pocket. I don't see any Tigers on there. So I'm going to go under. Going to go under.
Kuchar's really struggled. No top 10s for Matt Kuchar this year.
Yeah, but you know what? That guy right there, Mr. Sink, has been great. Man, Stuart Sink's absolutely golfing his ball, man. And this is his kind of track, too.
I know.
So is it that guy
right
there?
I like Koepka. Sneaky Brooks Koepka this week.
He ain't sneaky. That dude's a grown man. I pray to God.
Well, everybody's talking about John Rahm.
Well, whatever. Arizona State guy. I pray to God that Brooks Koepka and Bryson DeChambeau get paired Saturday and Sunday. That would be great television. Great television.
A lot of conversation, you think?
Oh.
A lot of talk going on.
Death stares, you're away. Nice shot. You're away. Man, I want that to happen. I am rooting openly.
Was that a four?
Yeah. What'd you have there?
That's great. Did you have a four there?
You're away.
Four. Good.
Those two do not like each other. It's great. It's tremendous.
No. It's been kind of documented. All right, Josh, you're next.
Last one here quickly so that we can get to Dan Radakovich. True. Course, 2 days in the Commonwealth today. True. Over under, let's go back to win totals, 14.5 combined for the two schools in Virginia.
God, who is setting the line on these?
Me.
Who's setting the lines?
I'm going to go over.
Doing a good job.
Going over. I'm going to go over.
All right, I'll go over with you. I'll go over with you.
You didn't sound very committed on that.
I'll do that. I wasn't committed, but
not at all.
Josh has set hard lines today, really hard.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.